I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen episode 3 of Waco The Return and you're intending on watching it, you can only listen to the first half of this podcast.
I know you don't do a lot of prep, but it is called Waco The Aftermath, not The Return.
I do prep.
It's not a Jedi. Like, did you genuinely, was that a bit? Were you doing a bit or was that an actual?
No, it wasn't a bit.
Okay.
But I mean, does it like?
It doesn't really matter.
Does anyone listening going? Is anyone listening going? Oh, there was. They've moved on from the aftermath. Now it's the return.
No, the only people that
the epic conclusion to the Waco trilogy.
No, everyone who's listening at this point is just waiting to see if Ben Russell pops up. At this point, they'll stop listening as soon as they realize he's not in the episode.
Oh. Anyway, that's the spoiler warning with some Mish bullying mixed in.
Peace. I hate the word.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama. It is a podcast.
Yes, it is.
Where each week my friend and I chat about John Leguizamo, everything he's been in, and sometimes things he's not in. You might remember me, Mish Wittrop, from last week saying that I think that we shouldn't do Waco if John Leguizamo is no longer in it. I'm joined, as always, by my friend Zach Ruane, who you might know from...
Saying, let's wait until we do the meeting off microphone before we make that decision.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about Waco The Aftermath episode 3 today. There is something important to note. I decided we should have this conversation on pod. And then as I'm about to announce what we were going to talk about, I realize it's probably quite dull and we probably could have just had this conversation off pod. But we do have someone else in the studio with us right now, but we haven't decided whether to acknowledge that he is here or not.
Yeah, which I thought was an odd... Because when I said, should we talk about the fact that he's in the studio now, you were like, wait till the pod.
Which is not fun. Zach, I'm just trying to find the fun.
But I thought you had some...
Bit? Yeah.
That you were like... Because now what if we decide not to acknowledge?
Yeah. No, I think we should acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the first time ever in Leguizamarama history, our sound guy, Tom Armstrong, is in the studio with us.
Wow.
He won't talk much.
I won't talk.
He's not here because he watched the episode or anything.
No. Yeah, he didn't watch the episode. You're not a guest on the podcast. You have just decided to come in and be the one. Now you're stepping up your sound duties. You will be in studio recording the sound. A huge moment for the Leguizamarama podcast.
This is massive.
Huge.
I like that he's here. You're sitting on the other end of the table now.
I'm sitting, and I kind of feel a little nude. The sound in the headphones are different because usually I'm the one pressing record. I do nothing else. I press record, but there is something to being in the driver's seat that I'm used to with this podcast.
Of course, yeah.
And it feels weird. I just feel like I don't know what to do.
Like you're guesting on it?
Yeah, a little bit. I feel like, because this is usually where the guests sit. And, I just feel like I feel like you're going to ask me how I know John Leguizamo and then I'm going to go, I liked him, but I didn't know who he was at first.
Oddly, though, I wouldn't be showing anyone who didn't know who John Leguizamo was episode 3 of Waco The Aftermath.
You wouldn't?
Well, imagine if someone was like, who's John Leguizamo? I'm like, watch this.
I think
and it'll tell you everything you need to know.
Pretty up there. I actually think in trying to convey who John Leguizamo is, a really like special guest star title and not being in the episode is a very John Leguizamo move.
Also, I'd like to throw out a little, this is actually John Leguizamo chat.
Oh, wow, okay, yeah.
So, and we never do that.
We never start with Leguizamo ever. Chat.
This is proper Leguizamo chat.
We should do Leguizamo news. That could be a good little... We got some Leguizamo news, John Leguizamo.
No, this is more like a conspiracy theory. So this is John Leguizamo news on like...
He killed Princess Catherine. Yeah,
he knows where she is. I would love to talk about that, though. Is that okay? Can we talk? Will that be bad for your brand?
My brand?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't have a brand that needs to be like, I don't need to watch out. If I say, hey, I think she's dead, no one's going to be like, that's not going to make any kind of like wave.
Ripples or waves.
Whereas if you said, I, Zach Ruane of Auntie Donna, think that she's dead.
Still think you're overestimating my brand. My brand is about, you know, like I'm in, it's Mish and Zach.
All right. But no, my John Leguizamo, it's not news. It's a conspiracy theory.
Okay,
I think.
Great.
I haven't seen much of him on socials, right? He's been posting a couple, like he shares some news articles, has some opinions, but I haven't seen much of him. I think he's working on a really big project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I just think that I think something is coming.
Because he seems...
Well, it's like I feel like if he was doing a bunch of like middling Nancy movies, and I don't mean Nancy in like a Nancy...
Yeah, you don't mean like Nancy Boy.
No, I don't. I mean movies.
Michelle likes tough movies about gangsters.
I like
and
big
fucking.
Boy. Yeah, that's true though. Movies about gangsters and fucking are genuinely my favorite movies. No, I mean movies like the movie Nancy or like the movie The Babysitter. These little middling ones.
Yeah,
where I'm sure he would just like you have time to make stories and do things and chit chat. He's kind of on off the grid.
You reckon he's working hard on?
I reckon
something.
He's somewhere.
Okay.
Like, I reckon he's had to do a location moment.
Okay.
That's just what my guess. Just because I haven't seen much of him, haven't heard much from him.
And
he's liking our stuff still, but he hasn't shared for a while.
I quite like that notion. I mean, it is very conspiracy theory, but I like the idea that, all right, he just got this special guest star credit on the show that we're talking about. Which says to me, you know, I talked about the fact that I think that's the agents being like, I don't think you should do this at all. And he's like, yeah, I want to do it. So I think that we put that together with the fact that we haven't heard from him for a while tells me that I hate to get our hopes up, but he's about to do his big Leguizamo renaissance.
I've just got a feeling. It's a little tiny bubble up in the gut. That's all.
Wow. I love that.
Mm. And love that. Sure. That's interesting. Whatever. But where's Kate?
Do we need to talk about Tom more?
Sorry?
We don't
he's
really.
Here.
He's here. Hey,
no,
Tom.
I'm just here.
Where do you think Kate is?
I have no idea.
I think she's like just...
It's kind of sort of links back into what we talked about last episode about like circle jerks. I'm not saying she's currently in a circle jerk. That's why we don't know where she is. No, but I think it's that kind of like fame land, uber rich thing. I think, this is my theory, Mother's Day rolled around. They hadn't had the whole family together for a while because they have nannies. They have so many people looking after these children, believe you me, that they were like, oh, shit, we need to post something because.
But you think, okay, so is there any person in the world that isn't aware of this? Is this something we need to give some context to about the photos?
Oh, probably. So on Mother's Day in the UK Mother's Day, which was.
I don't know if we do. Maybe we don't need to do this. Tom, do you know about the Princess Kate thing?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think you could summarise it more easily.
Very, very quick summary is that on Mother's Day in the UK, so the 10th of March, I believe, I may have the date wrong, on the Prince William and Princess Catherine Instagram or something, they posted a photo of Catherine with her three children with this, like, happy Mother's Day post.
And I will say before that, she hasn't been in public life. She just had some surgery. She hasn't been in public life. And the Twitter people were starting to get a bit conspiracy theory. Yes. It was a very fringe thing, but there was a bit of a why haven't we heard anything from Kate?
For
why
about isn't 6 weeks.
The media talking about it?
And they were like, no one worry about her surgery. She'll be recovered within a week. And then they also said, like, a few days later, in 1 month, her recovery will be done. Everyone's like, hold on a second. You said a week.
Yeah.
Now it's a month. It was that kind of shit.
But at that level, right?
And this is my most favourite little one of my favourite titty bits. Yeah. One of my favourite little tidbits is that apparently when she went to hospital, King Charles went and visited her.
Mm.
And her sister went and visited her, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But Prince William did not, and no one else in her family.
But I heard that Prince William did visit her.
No. I don't. Maybe he did.
Yeah, this is my point.
No, maybe it was that Prince William and King Charles did, but no one in her family went to visit her. Yeah. It was this like, yeah, maybe that's what it was. Like no one in her family went to the hospital.
But I think this gives the listener a fair idea of the caliber of conspiracy that was happening.
Yes.
My understanding was the palace was like, she's had some surgery. We don't want to go into it because we want to respect her privacy. And she's not going to be back to work for a few months.
Mm.
The press respected that for the first time ever, and then people started being a bit conspiratorial about it. It was starting to bubble up, but it really was just a fringe conspiracy. From my perspective, I was like, I don't give a shit.
Mm.
Then she posted this photo.
I have never cared about the royal family. All of that shit. I didn't even know she had surgery. Like, I had not. That's not part of the news that I read.
Mm-hmm.
I only came on board with the photo thing too. They released this photo of Catherine with her three children.
Mm-hmm.
And it isn't real. Like, it's just, it's not real. Like, it can be confirmed 100% at this point that it's not real. But why? Why can it be confirmed that it's not real? Because people are like, that looks like an AI image, or that looks like a highly heavily photoshopped image. There's things wrong with that. Her hands are out of whack. Her arms are too long. The windows don't line up. That kid's top is all fucked. And then they retracted the photo.
Well, yeah, the news agencies like Getty and everything retracted the photo. That's what piqued my interest was them going, oh, we retract this photo.
So they retracted the photo and then put out a kill notice, which is you have 12 hours to remove this photo from any form of media or publication.
But wait, what's your impression of a kill notice?
Get it out of there.
Who do you think did the kill notice?
The royal family.
No. See, this is what I love about a conspiracy theory. The kill notice is what Getty or Associated Press does.
Mm.
So that was just the Associated Press. They have very strict rules on what a photo can be. Once they realized that it was doctored or changed, they did their own kill notice. So they were like, to all of our clients, which is all the newspapers, pull this photo because it's been doctored, it's been faked.
The Gettys are so rich.
Yeah, they love, they're
Anyway, okay, so that, whatever, a kill notice.
So that kill notice, that's when my interest was piqued. That was when I was like, ooh, okay. Mm. But I was still like, whatever. In my opinion, right, my first thought was, whatever, right? You know, because I, Tom, you've got a bub. Sorry to keep, it just turns
now that
out
you're
we're
here.
Throwing you in.
Well, it feels rude. It feels like being sitting at like a school lunch table and only talking to one friend and leaving the other one out. Like my back is literally turned to Tom. I feel rude.
But Tom's like the funny guy at the bar, you know, he's going to come in with a quip every now and then. But I think the thing I would say is Tom's got a bub. You would know how hard it is to get a photo with that bub. I've got a dog. I know how hard it is to get a photo with a dog. I'm also in a comedy group. I know how hard it is to get a good photo of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
One of us looks good. The rest of us look like shit. So I was like, oh, that's fun. But this is probably just a Photoshop composite image because she smiled in that one, he smiled in the other one, and he smiled in this one, and they've just sort of fixed it up. And that was my first thought. I was like, oh, that's fun, right? But clearly they've just Photoshopped it together to make it look nice. Still, a real own goal from the royals. They've now made people engage with this thing. Mm. The bit that got me...
Oh, this is so delicious. You tell it. This is like the best part.
The part that got me was they then, from the same official account...
This is so funny.
I'm going to find it. Are we talking? I'm going to find it because it is so funny how, like, weird it is.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
But, like, no, these... go have a look at the photo. Another thing that people, like, people have, like, completely unpacked it now. The kids are all wearing the same outfits they were wearing at an Easter gathering the year before. And everyone's like, I don't, that seems weird. That seems weird. She's not wearing a wedding ring. And also there was a Vogue photo shoot that she did about 10 years ago. And it's the same head from the same photo shoot.
See, now this is the next stage. Yeah. And I've got opinions on that as cool. Right? So I was like not that engaged with it at all. I was like, okay, whatever. Then the photo made me go, oh, that's kind of fun. Mm. And then this was the tweet that was released from the official Kensington Royal account. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. See?
That's so funny.
Gun to head shit. That's the most gun to head shit
yeah.
I have ever seen in my fucking life. Oh, what a fool I am.
As an amateur photographer, like many others in Britain, I just sometimes like to experiment with different things.
It is on the record from various interviews and news sources that I am an amateur photographer. This is fact. Now we can... Is that the idea as well? Trying to create this image that... That he took a photo, her husband took a photo, the prince, and then she, who has not been in public in the public eye for months,
got online,
has gone, oh, babe, this would be a sick photo for the Insta. And then she got on her little computer with a mouse. She put on her glasses and
she was at the dining room table, opened up her laptop.
Click, 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 click. And she just photoshopped it a bit, just a bit on her own. And then she emailed it to herself, or she sent it in a Slack to herself. And then she posted it on Instagram on her phone.
From her iPhone.
And then at some point she was like, oh, babe, should we check with like all of our minders if we should post this? She's like, babe, no, it's a cute photo.
And then when all of this is happening, she's like, babe, everyone's mad about the image. She's like, I think I should just tell them the truth. I'll go on Twitter. Let me log into my Twitter. Hold on one second. All right. I'm just going to tell them the truth. Because people are saying crazy things. Guys.
As you know,
I am an amateur photographer. Anyway, it's C, should I close it with an X? No, just a C.
Make sure you sign off as you because, you know, it's always us doing it, but just let them know.
Yeah. Oh, of course, yes. Yeah. C. So funny.
But also, like, it's just the most insane thing.
Now that all of that has happened, everyone is thinking, like, where's Kate? And they need to do something. And then the thing that's really fucking me is that they're not. Where is she?
She went for a drive. She went for a drive.
No, but everyone's saying it's not her.
But see, this,
this
is now,
why it's like...
See, this is my this is my journey with all of this, right? So I was like, don't believe it. Oh, that photo's kind of funny. Oh, that tweet is hilarious. Mm. And now back to the crazies have taken over the conversation again. Like that Vogue photo thing is so funny because they're like, clearly they've just photoshopped it from a Vogue photo. And it's like, there's a fucking Vogue title on her forehead. Did they smudge that out? And it's got like different shadows. And they're like, it's the same fucking face. And it's like, that's how faces work. And there's other people that are like, the paparazzi photo of her in the car was taken by a paparazzi. It wasn't taken by the royals. And they're like, that's the same face. Have you seen the one where they're trying to do it with that paparazzi photo? And it's just like, she wore a hat.
I stick by my theory. I think that they just didn't take a photo. And they're like, shit, we need a photo. Like, we need a photo for Mother's Day to make everyone know that she's okay. The third, like, whatever, let's just stitch a photo up. No one's going to know because they're just so fucking out of touch. And then threw out this photo.
But the thing is, right, that's fair. But I think, like, the fact that they did it in – I think the fact that they – there's two things that are really, like, juicy. I think really she's unwell and she wants her privacy and I think that's totally fair. But I do think that, like, the thing that's really fucked is that they did this photo. It's the fact that they, like, edited the photo and they are refusing to give the unedited photo. They're like, no, we it's just the funniest layer of like,
are they? Is that a thing?
Yeah. So in the BBC articles and everything, they're like, the royal house is refusing to give the original photo.
Well, that's kind of like, what the fuck?
So simultaneous.
That's why I think there was no photo.
Oops-a-daisy to, we refuse to give you the original photo. That's fucking weird.
Yeah,
man.
That's why I think there was never a photo. It was, I think it was that they didn't put one together. The kids were arcing up and having little tanties, and she's not well. She's just like, she wants some privacy. She's getting better. God knows what happened. And they were just like, just create one and throw it out there.
Which is worse. They should have just.
But then that's when they should say, okay, we did. We threw together a photo. No one was ready. We apologize. Not this. I actually did it myself. I actually did this all by myself.
Yeah, the weirdness of trying to like, because that's the thing. I don't think this was an accident. I don't think they just were like, oh, shit, we got to do a photo. They were like, there's a conspiracy theory going on. Let's let's put it out with this fucked fake photo.
So you think it was deliberate?
Oh, yeah. They wouldn't have done it. She
so why then?
She had surgery, was on the record of as having had surgery, and was on the record of saying, I'm not going to be doing official princess duties until this date. She'd asked for privacy. She was like, there was nothing weird until that photo. That was her just saying, I want some privacy and I need some time to recover on my own. And then there was these murmurings, like these really fringe murmurings on Twitter. And I have no doubt that this is my opinion, is that the royal minders were like, listen, we've got to put out this fire, so we're going to put out a photo on Mother's Day to show that everything's okay, which is just fucked in the head to then do it with something Photoshopped.
Yeah.
But it could still just be that it was like the kids were being naughty and they don't want to. The other thing is like maybe the kids are pulling really fucked faces and it's like, oh, we can't do a photo of the future King of England being a kid, which is also fucked. It's all fucked. That's the problem. At the core is the most fucked thing in the world.
It's just the most it is bizarre.
I reckon she's an alien.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's that she actually had. The one I read was that she's actually been dead for years. Aww. And that they've put in this replacement Kate that is starting to age and not look like Kate.
Oh, that's
good. Or something. So the surgery is actually Kate surgery.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's it's crazy. So people funny. Go crazy. But it's, and I know I've talked about this before, maybe not on this pod, but surely I have. Definitely
yeah,
in our friendship.
That's all you talk about, yeah.
Is the, when I dated a conspiracy theorist?
Oh, maybe not on this pod. Tom, do you remember ever hearing this?
Maybe in your personal life.
Yeah, potentially in person. What, did this person feature heavily in one of your stand up shows?
Yeah.
Oh, they featured at one point. But right. I was too scared to write too much about them in case they had me killed.
And didn't they
no,
come?
No, no, that was a different ex. That was a different ex.
You have talked about it a little bit on the pod before.
Oh, for sure. It's one of the... Okay, so everyone knows that she dated fuckboy chefs, right? Yeah. Everyone knows that. Unless no
one... I didn't, but that's great.
Okay, cool. But no, he was one of the fuckboy chefs, right?
That you dated fuckboy...
Yeah. Are you trying to think I'm talking about Kate Middleton?
I thought you were saying
that before William.
So what I heard from my conspiracy theorist ex-boyfriend was that everyone knew she was fucking chefs, but
no. I don't know who Kate Middleton dated before William.
But yeah.
Before I dated William, I dated fuckboy chefs.
Yeah.
And one of them was this conspiracy theorist, and it was fascinating. Because, like, everything that he said that was like, I believe this particular conspiracy theory, I was like, nah. He could back up with, if you went deep enough, with a whole bunch of reasons why. There was never anything he couldn't answer. And there was every single theory he had answers to why he felt that way. If you went really deep and dark and down or whatever, to a point where I'm like, if you commit your whole life to conspiracy theories, I get it. Like, I see why this can happen to you. But fuck, man. No one, like, he just thought that everyone had ulterior motive because it becomes a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Genuinely, conspiracy theories, following conspiracy theories is a lifestyle. Do you know anyone who's like a conspiracy theorist?
No, not really. Not really. I think this is the thing. Everyone's a little bit that way now. But I think this is the thing about... all of this that I keep coming back to is it's like my thing is never assume conspiracy where incompetence could be the answer. Like anyone who's ever worked, this is what the thing that blows me away is anyone that's ever worked for anything resembling a government agency or anything that's like, they're like, they've done this huge cover up and it's like, they can't even like do a press release. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like the most obvious answer is them just completely fucking this up.
Yeah.
Like, I think the best theory I've heard, which is really Russian, but is that she's just had a little bit of a nip tuck and that they can't show her face because there's a bit of scarring there still.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a better theory than anything
else. Than rat woman.
But also, like, there's also the theory that she had, she had some, like, major surgery and they don't want to alarm anyone and they don't want to make a big thing of it and she just wants her privacy and now they're just fucking it up.
Yeah.
It's pretty, pretty funny, though. The photo is really funny.
It is very funny.
It's really funny that they did that.
Yeah.
Because it looks really weird.
There are some very funny memes out of it now as well.
Yeah. but like I said, the tweet.
Oh, that was delicious.
Oh, silly me.
Sunday. She's in the kitchen on Sunday morning making breakfast for everything. Babe, everyone's like giving me like shit for the bad Photoshop job. Babe. And he's just like, oh, hun, just tell them. Just like, hey, just tell them the truth. I'm just so embarrassed.
At no point any of their people have ever reached out to him. Yeah. It's the other layers. I just see her like in bed just going, oh, silly me. He's like, oh, what's wrong, honey? She's like, oh, it seems that I've sent the conspiracy theorists wild.
Don't worry, I'll set them straight with nothing but the truth.
Completely fucked.
Hey, after the break, what should we do?
I don't know, man.
After the break, we're going to get Tom's opinion.
Oh, yeah, what does Tom think is happening?
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back. Previous to the ad, we were chatting about Kate Middleton's the photo drama and where's Kate? Where, as promised before the ad, we're going to ask Tom what his opinion is. Tom, what do you think?
Yeah, very like-minded to Zach, I think. I mean, I've had major surgery before and it was like a good 3-month recovery, even longer. Honestly, I still feel effects now from 10 years ago.
Does the public know what you had done?
Yes, I had this podcast just became about me, but I had 3 foot of like my small bowel and like 6 foot of my large bowel or some shit like that removed.
So what you're saying is you think that Kate Middleton has Crohn's disease?
Potentially.
Okay.
But that's no, possible. I think it's very much like the way they present publicly is very different to how the truth. And I think, yeah, she could very well be recovering from major surgery and they don't want that to be out there. So
yeah, that's fair enough. Like let's just say, like maybe, like honestly, like I've just thought of, if she does have Crohn's disease,
yeah,
it's possible. A lot of people do. Maybe she has a colostomy bag.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's not announce that in a Mother's Day photo.
She has. I think I read somewhere once that she has said that she doesn't want to talk about their medical stuff. Like that's a thing she set for her children as well. That was
because she married a product of incest. So like, I don't want to talk about the medical stuff with my family. It's like, well, yeah.
But she's like, just very early.
Your dad's
on.
Your husband's uncle is also his brother. Like it's not. Of course you don't.
And then it's hilarious as well. I love the layer. I love. Well, not hilarious is that it's like the British media is evil. Mm-hmm. They've been horrible. They killed Princess Diana. Unless you're a conspiracy theorist and then you think the royals did it. But no, like the media killed Princess Diana. And like the idea that maybe they finally got the message to give her space and then that's what's like set all this off is very fucked.
I think so.
I also do love the layer. This is not to diminish your that surgery was very full on, Tom. Mm. But I love the layer that we've brought you on to help, like, give just in time, give our podcast a little bit more sheen, a little bit more polish, a little bit more structure. Nothing, listener, nothing that the listener needs to worry about. You're still going to get Mission Zach's fucked shit. And then just the idea that the gravitational pull of our fuckness within 20 minutes, it cuts. Yeah, so I got my colon cut.
We're just like, hey, Tom, don't worry. And Tom was literally like, do I need a mic? It's like, probably not. Like, we won't, like, don't stress. He's like, no, I'm going to sit here anyway. It's fine. And then, like, yeah, within 20 minutes of having you on board, we're like, hey, you want to discuss your very private, like, massive surgery that was very scary for all that loved you? Do you want to talk about that very openly to our 15 listeners across the globe? Cool. Zach, go on.
That's where we're at.
Are we doing blurb now?
Yeah, we're going to do blurb.
Fuck yeah.
Tom, you watched it, yeah?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh, what a treat.
No, that's all good. That was a joke. Tom, we said you didn't watch. We got to get rid of Tom.
Hey, Zach, can we put down a meeting just you and me after this and just call it Tom? Tom, you don't need to be there.
Today we are talking about episode 3 of Waco the Return, a series that we...
But can you please call it by its name?
Well, this shows you what you said in the...
Like, I'm sorry. I know you have no respect for this podcast, but please get the title correct.
But I will say the accusation that was thrown at me during the spoiler warning was that I didn't do any prep. This shows you that I did do prep. I just didn't look up the name of the show while I was doing the prep. Anyway, yeah, I did write Waco the Return. Yep. My bad.
But it's not the return of Waco, though.
Today we are talking about episode 3 of Waco the Return. The epic finale to the Waco trilogy. No. Today we are talking about episode 3 of Waco, The Aftermath, a series that we agreed to dedicate an episode a week to before we realised that John Leguizamo is in one scene in the first episode and that's it. In this episode, Michael Zod Shannon continues to try to infiltrate the neo-Nazis with the help of the supermodel Nazi, while also dealing with the fact that every single person he meets keeps telling him fun facts about how everything is linked to season one. Meanwhile, Gia Daddy Ribisi keeps doing the court case and the dad from Brady Bunch keeps helping him, and we keep getting interesting flashbacks to not Taylor Kitsch being a really sleazy, full of shit D-bag and everyone believing him. John Leguizamo again only appears in the opening titles as special guest star John Leguizamo.
It is a bizarre, bizarre choice to keep him in the opening credits when he's not in the episode.
It's a limited series. I think it's got a whole different beast. It's probably a union thing.
But, like, if you watch Buffy, when Seth Green leaves, he's out immediately.
Yeah, no, but I think a lot of, like, union rules, like, credits are determined largely by unions, and a lot of union rules are built around old TV things. So, like, this is, like, probably framed as a mini series, so thus he's credited for the whole thing.
Oh, well, it means that we get to watch it, aren't we lucky?
Yeah, and I could come in for 13 episodes of ER, but could you watch one episode of this and not, like, I want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I kind of, that's the thing. We've got two more to go. Easy, let's
do
it.
Yeah, I got to finish it.
Yeah.
And then may as well talk about it on the podcast.
Well, we see him, he is in it. He is in the episode. He's just in the credits.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but we see his face.
And he's in Waco, the Aftermath. He's in the miniseries that it is.
Yeah, exactly. If you just removed all the credits, it's just a 5-hour movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's have a chat about how hot the Nazis are in this film.
Oh, well, we've got the pull quote from that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Mm. I've got to say, the casting in this has been impeccable, right?
Up until
the Nazi house. So the casting, impeccable. We've got, like we've already discussed, we've got like the trilogy of Gia Daddy Ribisi, fucking Michael Shannon and John Leguizamo. Like we've got men in their, the character actors in their daddy zone, right?
And also some great female character actors. The Buffy person, we've got J. Cameron Smith playing the original. Like there are, like it's not to, like I it's not even a, you know, the men are this and the women are this. There's some great
casting choices.
Like character actors across the board.
Oh yeah, like a really, really like, would be such an interesting space to be in, right? And then we've got this side story of Michael Shannon trying to bring down these small Nazi groups. And he's picked up this hot Nazi, which we discussed last week, this supermodel Nazi with
the... We're going to say neo-Nazi. I feel like neo suffered... Like
okay, neo-Nazi.
Gives it context.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. No, he's not like going... It's not... Okay, neo-Nazis.
they're equally evil.
Yeah, no, okay, we'll soften it. Neo-Nazis, right? He's picked up this, like, supermodel neo-Nazi with the Sharpie swastika on her shoulder blade that she always just kind of has out so that everyone knows that she is, in fact, a Nazi, a neo-Nazi. He's like, wires her up because he's going to pay her to get information, right, about this little neo-Nazi group and sends her into this real grungy neo-Nazi house party. Now, this is some – I don't even know where it is. I wasn't paying attention, like, what –
Middle South vibes, yeah. I think.
And she
it's super rural,
right? She enters this house of neo-Nazis and we've got cigarettes smoking, we've got shit, the yard's not kept, we've got shit on the floors, we've got like the whole place is lit up with just like neon signs. It's gross, it's grimy and there's food and sticky shit everywhere, cheap beer, foul. Like, disgusting. If you walked into that room, you just know it stinks. And everyone in it was fucking hot. Everyone in this house was so hot. Like, hot as fuck. Like, these big, like, ripped, bald men, but, like, beautiful and chiseled. And she goes to her drug dealer, whose name I've obviously forgotten, who's this other female neo-Nazi. She's like, I'm just going to go hang out with her in the back room. And she's, like, playing gross, disgusting drinking games on a pool table in a room full of just, like, sweat and cigarettes and foul, gross neo-Nazi culture. And she's so hot, this drug dealer.
Oh, man, the drug dealer is, like, and see, this is the thing about, you know, ever since heroin chic was a thing for models, there are certain models where you go, oh, I could see why you would have cast her. So the model, the Australian model that's in this, I go, oh, I can see how, you know, with the right makeup, she could have looked good for the part. Like, she could have looked like a heroin addicted because it's the same thing, you know. They're doing this, you know, but this person... Like, even if they'd gotten the makeup right, is just a very pretty actress from the city.
Yes. Yes. She was one of 250 people they called in to see the role. Very pretty, beautiful, very pretty girl. Very pretty actress.
But then the makeup, they look pretty. They've got, like, nice makeup. Yeah. That's the other problem is that they're
They don't want to make them look too ugly because, yuck, we don't want ugly actors. We don't want ugly women in this show. Like, it's like, if you want to, like... Like, I don't know, respect the ugly actor every once in a while and at least cast them as a neo-Nazi. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like there's so few places for us. Like, slap a swastika on my arm and make me the drug dealer. Like, where am I in that house? It's big, fat, ugly cunts that should be in there. It's not supermodels.
It is. There are, like, there is a certain look. And this is actually very, like, there's a certain look of a human being that's, like, once they hit 30, like, I think at 18, at 17, at 15, like, you can cast anyone for anyone. But once you've lived a life, by 30, people's faces look very different. You know what I mean? Like, someone who has been smoking, like, a pack a day, who is addicted to drugs, they look, they've lost teeth. They look like someone at a, like, from 23 onwards, it gets further and further apart.
Yeah.
And it's very, very rarely does an actor convincingly play someone from that socioeconomic background, I think.
Oh.
And this is like, but this is
Well, when they've
wild.
Got Hollywood money, no, because they're all getting their teeth whitened and their hair looks really pretty and they've got the best skincare. So, no, you're not casting like a Hollywood actor from those low. Yeah. 100% couldn't agree more. But these two women, these two disgusting, junky neo-Nazis are just so hot. Like, beautiful.
And, like, they get, like, they do hot-cold therapy. It's just like these women clearly do hot-cold therapy. Like, how could they possibly be? Yeah.
That was just something that jumped out at me.
No, I really
I don't want to take away from the fact that I found this episode quite interesting. I'm finding the series quite interesting. I stand with where I stood last week. I wish that they just focused on one of these three stories.
How good was the bit where he goes to visit like the guy who's on death row and he's like, I'm going to be murdered. I'm going to be on death row on this date. Fun fact, same time that Waco happened. Michael Shannon's like, oh, no.
Not Waco again.
Here's the thing. It might actually be linked to Waco. We could get to the end of this and this might have been a Waco-related thing. And, like, that's the whole point of it, was that they were trying to do something Waco-related.
Well, I might have read this wrong, but isn't it that these little small neo-Nazi groups are really...
Are you talking about, like, I've purposefully avoided the history to not know what's about to happen in the plot?
No, no, no.
Are you talking about what's happened in the plot so far? Yeah.
Yeah, it happened last week.
Yeah, yeah, no, great.
These little neo-Nazi groups are going, hey, man, like, the government's coming for us. We're next because look what they did to Waco.
What I'm not sure about, though, is if that is actually what happened or if it was more like after Waco there was more, you know, like in a history book it's like after Waco there was a much more, you know, conspiratorial, there was less trust of the government or if like, because they're playing it like they're like, after Waco, we decided to do this. And I don't know if that's as linked as they're making it out to be.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
and I can't wait to find out. If this was a plot that was not based on a true story, it would have something to do with the court case that's going on. They would be planning something around the court case and it'll all come smashing together in episode 4 and 5.
Fingers crossed. That would be nice.
Well, you know, it's real people, so I don't want to wish anything even in the past. But, you know, who knows? I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to... I'm curious to see how they bring these stories together.
100%.
If they come together, wow, that'll be really satisfying.
Absolutely. I'm really, really enjoying Gio Daddy Ribisi's, like, work in this as well.
Yeah.
Just because I've never seen him do it.
Yeah,
because usually, nice. Usually, he would be one of the neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 10, 15 years ago, Giovanni Ribisi would have been cast in, he would have been put in that neo-Nazi house.
It took me a beat to, or like one of the cult people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me a beat to vibe with him as a Southern lawyer. But I'm right on board now.
I'm on board. I'm seriously on board.
Yeah, I get it. I find it really interesting. Okay, I'm ready for this era of Giovanni Ribisi's career.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen The Other Sister?
Nah.
Don't watch that movie.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, don't watch it. It's super problematic.
I think I told you about, I think I've talked about this on the podcast, but when I lived in LA, I lived near the Museum of Death. And it was called Psychiatry, the Museum of Death. Did I tell you about this?
Yes.
It was a museum in LA and there was no signs that it was related to Scientology, but the whole thing was it was a 30 to 40 minute walkthrough experience. Like, you know, the scary part of Madame Tussauds? Yeah, it was basically that. It was like the idea of this scary thing where they go through the history of psychiatry, but about all the evil things they did, like lobotomies and giving people bad medication that killed them and stuff. It's like this psychiatry is evil, spooky tour. And I always wanted to do it, but I wasn't in the right, like, frame of mind to go. I wasn't in the best place mentally, so I think going through a 40-minute spooky tour. The thing that you realize very quickly is, oh, this is clearly a Scientology thing because they hate psychiatry. And then I looked it up because I was so fascinated. I walked past it every day on my way home, and I looked it up, and at the opening night of it, the two celebrities that came were Giovanni Ribisi and is it Jenna Elfman from Dharma and Greg?
Yep. That's funny.
The idea there's photos of Giovanni Ribisi and Jenna Elfman at the opening night of Psychiatry, the Museum of Death. And I was now I gotta go.
Did you watch Dharma and Greg?
No.
I watched it when I was a little girl. I just remember my mum liked the show
I think I watched a couple of episodes.
But yeah, during lockdown, one of the lockdowns for COVID period, I watched a few episodes because someone's uploaded them all onto YouTube, right?
Yeah.
And it's one joke. You know that?
Like, she's a bit of a hippie. He's uptight.
He's uptight. She's a hippie. Their families are a hippie family and an uptight family.
Did they get married? Is that on
their first date.
And then now they're trying to make it work.
Now they're trying to make it work.
Oh, that's funny. That's very
bit 90s of fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Like just divorce, guys.
Yeah.
You made a mistake.
Do you know, though, this just occurred to me now. I just thought of it then. Do you remember the show Mad About You?
Yep.
I loved that
show. Do you know they brought it back? They did a reboot and it was on like a... the weirdest streaming service you can possibly imagine.
I loved that show.
There's a lot of sitcoms from the 90s that are very weird. Like, we remember Seinfeld and Friends, but no one talks about, you know.
No, but it's true.
Mad About You and
the Seinfeld, Friends, Will and Grace, that period, there were a lot of Will and Grace Seinfelds and Friends.
Yeah, Dahmer and Greg and...
Mad
About You and, just so many weird little sitcoms that were just like news... What was the news one? News...
Oh, what was it?
Yeah, you know the one.
Yes.
With Michael J. Fox.
Yep. Oh, Spin City.
Heather Locklear.
Spin City.
Yeah, Spin City.
Oh, that was... Spin City.
And just like shows spending 12 years trying to work out what their thing is.
Yeah.
And being given the time and the millions of dollars to do it. And they never quite figure it out.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Any final thoughts on episode 3?
Oh, so many. I want to keep going on about this. No.
Okay. We're going to do an episode 4 and episode 5, I think. I'm very excited to finish it off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We're definitely doing that. It's fine.
I do have a final thought. I'm fascinated by cults. I am fascinated by them. They're such an interesting thing, the idea that people are looking for something and they get pulled in to something really nefarious. I think it's such an interesting idea. I love that there's always one Australian. There is always, it doesn't matter if it's a documentary or a drama, there's always one Australian that's in the mix and quite high up, like every time, without question. The guy in this is not an Australian actor and I think he's doing a great Australian accent.
Really?
Yeah. Not Australian.
Go.
Yeah, really good accent, hey?
Yeah, very, very good.
Yeah, and like really good like 80s Australian accent.
Yeah.
Like it feels like an accent from a few years ago.
Mm.
But I'm fascinated by them, but I don't think I've ever seen a movie or a TV show that I just don't spend the whole time like, what are you doing? This guy's clearly a fucking creep. What the fuck are you doing? And then, like, this show has a real layer in the flashbacks of being like, these are interesting people that are complex and they are looking for something. Mm. And, like, they've done really well painting the like, cult members as interesting figures. Mm. Like, these are people that read the Bible, that are looking for answers. And then they just talking to this 12-year-old Taylor Kitsch type that's like, hey, I want to have little baby wives and come on. And they're like, all right, wow.
Yeah, cool. It's like... Okay. No, but like, I think 100% it's just like sparked a little, sparks off my brain.
Final thought, yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good final thought because you're so true. I think the depiction of cult, like so often we see depictions of cult leaders and stuff, but this is just a really interesting insight into people who fall into positions of worshipping somebody who's really just a 12-year-old.
Yeah, but it's like, but this is the thing, right? There's still this outside in of like these people are pretty whack that they're doing this.
No, but it's really nice. Like when I say it's nice, it's not like now it's actually okay. I'm saying it's just it's nice from a viewer's standpoint. It's interesting that we kind of get something that shows these people and why they kind of fall into these positions.
That's actually very
people's
true.
Desperate need for some sort of faith to just lean on something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like that's true. That's very true. And this does that well.
Like I get it. I'm not in a cult. I don't worship anybody. I don't follow any. I ride coattails my whole life. But I get it. I can understand why people fall into those positions.
But this is where I keep coming back to. I've never seen something where I've been pulled in. You know how certain movies, they pull you, like Taxi Driver, by the end of that, you're with him and you're there and that's the power of it.
Mm.
I'm sure there are things out there. Actually, I would love to know if anyone like...
Yeah, and all of a sudden you find yourself rooting for the bad guy.
Or less the rooting for the bad guy. Those are those ones, that's the thing they do, but more like, if I was in that situation, I would end up in that cult. That person is charismatic and interesting and I am drawn to them.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm sorry. If I walked into that house and they were like, we're all really hot and horny and we'll give you a place to stay, free rent, food.
Like, yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right.
That doesn't quite answer. That's fair.
Gotcha. No, I don't know. I just think that's, it might be an interesting conversation for another day, but
just a shout out to anyone listening who is a big movie buff. If there are movies like that, I would love to know.
Same.
I would genuinely love to know if there's ones that, but this is a problem. It's probably a twist, a 2/3 in twist for them, but just let me know. Just let me know. Cause I would love to see a film like that.
Yeah.
Where you feel the getting sucked in and
I want nothing to do with David Koresh, to be clear. Yeah, it's not like I watch him like, I get it. I wish I was in that compound.
Like I'm not like, so much empathizing with the characters getting pulled in. I'm just like, oh, you poor thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. That's perfect. Exactly. I mean, it's not empathy, it's sympathy.
Yeah,
it's
and like, I would love an empathetic. I would love to just get, and I don't know how you do it, but I would love that. How many star Leguistamos do you give it?
No, one. No, half. One. Sorry. We'll go with one. We'll go with one because I'm leaving room for my half if I need to. It's gone down a half star for me, so one.
Because you're further away from the glow.
Yeah. No, because it's just like, where would he have gone? He's not in this.
Probably because
even though I knew he wasn't in it, I was hoping he'd pop up just somewhere. But nah. So
what
one
was
star.
I, what
you
was
gave
I
it
last,
one last time.
I gave it one last time.
Or maybe one and a half.
I think I gave it one and a half. Yeah, I'm going to give it one. In the hope that I gave it one and a half last time because we are moving further away from the glow of John.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to watching the next episode.
Yeah, and we'll watch both. Next week we'll do both.
What, 4 and 5?
Oh, we don't have to.
No, we
can. That's what you said.
Please. That'd be great. Probably good for our listeners because we've literally fucked our whole brand. We only ever... hey, everyone. It's Mission Zach from Mission Zach's Leguizamarama. Each week we talk about John Leguizamo and everything he's been in except in March 2024 where we just talked about this miniseries that was good.
We love all things John Leguizamo and also a little bit of J. Cameron Smith and Giovanni Ribisi. One time we just did that for a bit.
What should Tom take us away with?
Tom, what do you want to take us away
with? Did anything spark your creative
juices? Yeah, I've got a zinger. I've been holding onto a zinger for 5 minutes.
Okay, go on.
And well, you can eat it. Just turn off your microphone.
And this is going to be a hard out. Usually I fade out, but this is going to be a hard out.
All right, yeah.
It goes like this. Mish, you said you're not in a cult, but I'm in a cult.
Great.
So that's the
it?
Out?
That's the out?
Yeah, so we're going to end on that?
So that's what we're ending on.
We've already ended.
Well, maybe can we just play that piece
of
audio
we've got to do
again?
Something. That was weird, Tom.
As soon as you said in the moment, you were like, well, you know, I'm not in a cult. I wanted to be like, well, excuse me, Mish, I am in your cult, but I wouldn't intrude on your podcast, obviously.
So what Tom wants to do is he wants to end on that line. I'm happy for you to just take you saying that and put that now.
Yeah.
Sure. Same. Mish, you said you're not in a cult, but I'm in a cult.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.